I'd like to call the meeting of the Board of Adjustments for Taney County order at this time. Bob, would you give us quorum call?
Okay. Dave Clementson.
Present.
Tom Gideon.
Present.
Tony Mullen called. Mark Weiss.
Here.
And Dave Nelson.
Here.
We have established a quorum.
Great. Thank you. And would you like to explain the public hearings procedures for tonight's cases?
I'd like to welcome you this evening to the August 21st, 2013 Board of Adjustment public hearing. The Board of Adjustment hearing process is governed by the provisions of Missouri Revised Statutes, the Taney County Development Guidance Code, and the adopted Board of Adjustment bylaws. Public hearings are held for each variance or appeal request, which is filed with the Planning Department. I would like at this time to place the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B. The staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C. And the Board of Adjustment bylaws as Exhibit D for the cases to be heard at this public hearing. A staff report for each variance and an appeal case will be read, followed by a video and any questions for staff. As the chairman had indicated, if you wish to comment upon any of the applications this evening, you need to sign in at the front of the room. Anyone wishing either to speak for or against a request must be sworn in and will be providing sworn testimony. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it's your opportunity to provide sworn testimony, your name will be called by the Board of Adjustment chairman. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the board. All comments and questions are to be addressed to the board, not to anyone in attendance in the audience. All speakers who are not a party to the case shall be limited to 5 minutes unless additional time is granted by the chairman. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob. And David, would you give us the governing statutes that appears on the board there?
Yes, the Board of Adjustments shall have the following powers, and it shall be its duty. Number one, to hear and decide appeals where it is alleged there is error of law in any order, requirement, decision, or determination made by an administrative official in the enforcement of the county zoning regulations. Number two, to hear and decide all matters referred to it for which it is required to determine under the zoning regulations adopted by the county commission as herein provided. Three, where by reason of exceptional narrowness, shallowness, shape, or topography, or other extraordinary or exceptional situation or condition of a specific piece of property, the strict application of any regulation adopted under section 64.845 to 64.880 would result in peculiar and exceptional difficulties to or exceptional and demonstrable undue hardship upon the owner of the property as an unreasonable deprivation of use as distinguished from the mere grant of a privilege, to authorize upon an appeal relating to the property a variance from the strict application so as to relieve the demonstrable difficulties or hardships, provided the relief can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good and without substantially impairing the intent, purpose, and integrity of the zone plan as embodied in the zoning regulations and map.
Thank you. And our first case tonight is a variance request from Yokely's Towing. Bob, would you give us a staff report?
This is case number 2013-6V. The project is Yokely's Towing setback variance. The applicants are Rick and Rob Yokely. The property in question, it's a little hard to see, but I've put a dot right here, just outside of Forsyth. And it's located at 13797 U.S. Highway 160. In the Swan Township, Section 20, Township 24, Range 20. And we've got the property highlighted here in blue. The request, the applicants, Rick and Rob Yokely, are requesting a variance from the provisions of Section 7, Table 1, setbacks of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. The applicants are requesting a variance from the required 25-foot side of lot setback requirement in order to allow for the reconstruction of the Yokely's Towing Building in the same location as the existing structure. It's a little bit hard to see. The applicants have recently had this surveyed. You can see a survey stake here, and it's about 4.3 feet from the property line currently. The subject property is described as all of lots 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 12 in the J.N. Simmons Joy Houseman survey, and it contains approximately 1.61 acres. The property currently contains the Oakley Towing Business, a double-wide mobile home, and a second mobile home, and also an accessory building. According to the assessor's information, a portion of the original structure now utilized for Yokely's Towing was originally constructed in 1950 prior to the adoption of planning and zoning, and is therefore viewed as a legally nonconforming or grandfathered structure. However, upon the demolition of the Yokely's Towing building, the new structure will be required to be built in conformance with the requirements of the Development Guidance Code, including all setback requirements, unless a variance is granted. According to a recent boundary survey as shown, the existing Yokely's Towing building is basically, like I said, 4.3 feet at the closest point from the southern property boundary or the right-of-way boundary of Mayflower Road. This is just showing the location. And the applicants are seeking a variance from the setback requirements of the Development Guidance Code. Per the provisions of Section 7, Table 1, a structure is required to be set back 25 feet from the side property line if the property is located on a corner lot adjoining either a state or federal highway. Measurements to the structure are made to the portion of the structure that's closest to the property line, which in this instance actually is just the exterior wall, because the roof doesn't have an overhang. The applicant is requesting a 20.7-foot side setback variance from the south property line adjoining Mayflower Road, allowing basically for the new Yokely's Towing structure to be constructed essentially in the exact same location, 4.3 feet at the closest point from the right-of-way of Mayflower Road. And just have a few different views. We've got a north, south, east, and then a west view of the property. The applicants are seeking a 20.7-foot setback variance from the south property line, which adjoins Mayflower Road, basically allowing the Yokely's Towing structure to be rebuilt 4.3 feet from the south property line. The applicants have indicated that the existing building serving the Yokely's Towing business has fallen into a state of disrepair. The applicants have further stated that their contractor has indicated that the repairs to the existing building would cost nearly as much as constructing a new building. Based upon these factors, the applicants are proposing to demolish the existing building and basically build a similarly sized building in the same location. In review, the applicants have stated that it will not be feasible to relocate the building to meet the 25-foot side setback because the Yokely's Towing business currently utilizes the northern portion of the tract of land for tractor-trailer parking for the towing business. This northern parking area is the only other part of the property that would be of adequate size and slope to allow for the parking of the semi-trucks. The applicants are not proposing to relocate the existing gas island and canopy, which are currently located closer to Mayflower Road than the existing building. The applicants have stated that the relocation of the new building would not allow for access to the shop bays and would limit the applicant's future ability to install gas pumps. The applicants have indicated that the new structure will need to be constructed essentially in the same location as the current structure, in order to allow the building to continue to allow for repair of automobiles and semi-trucks. It's a little tough to see right here, but the actual property line is here. This is a survey stake here. And so just to get the trucks in currently, they're actually having to park a little bit beyond their property line. And we've shown the same thing here. This is basically the property line on that side. In summary, if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this variance request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the board. First, approval of a setback variance of 20.7 feet from the south property line adjoining Mayflower Road, allowing the new Yokeley's Towing Building to be reconstructed 4.3 feet from the south side property line. Second, compliance with all of the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. And third, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And got a couple of brief videos here. This first one, we've just shot a quick 360 in the front of the building. And at the time we shot this, there weren't any trucks currently parked in the parking area, but the trucks would customarily park right in this area.
No, you got Bonita in the shot again.
And we took one of the side here, and got my finger here, but you can see this is the survey stakes going down the side of the property, and pretty much the existing canopy is probably the roof of it's probably about even with the property line there. And it's my understanding that the applicants essentially want to build the new building back in the same location. And here's the survey stakes right through here, or the pins and the stake there.
Okay, thank you. Rick Yokeley?
Yes, sir.
Please stand, I'll swear you in. Please raise your right hand. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Come tell us what you would like to tell us.
Well, I've got a picture here if you want, if y'all wouldn't mind looking at it. I drew the way the building, the way we're trying to make the building. Right here. That is a 50 by 100. Which the building that I have right now is actually 110. I have a lean-to on the north end, which is basically just storage, and we would get rid of it because we don't need it. But the it's basically now, when we pull around the way the building is set up right now on this here description, we can pull around Mayflower and come around here with the trucks, and we've got to, even with our property the way it is, and as long as our trucks are, we've got to park at an angle like this in order to back in this bay. So if we move 25 feet, I can't get the trucks in this shop at all. And that's the main reason that I need the variance.
Let's see, which one?
Yeah, there you can see it. Better.
That one maybe.
And I pull over here. And I still, like I say, the property next door to me, we've always kept it mowed and stuff like that. And then that next door don't set it. With the way the stakes are set right now, we do nose a little bit over on his property now. And but the trucks are 76 feet long. So, I mean, it's, if I move at 25 or like I'm supposed to here, there would be no way I can get in that back shop. And I mean, that's what I do now, is I haul cars for a living and basically out of the shop, and that's where I do all the repairs on my own truck. And I mean, we even looked around and tried to put the building down in the back lot, and it just,
it just wouldn't be feasible there because the lot is sloped so much and all that. In the wintertime, I couldn't get the truck down. If I got it down there, I couldn't get it back out. So that's, I went ahead. It hadn't been surveyed. They told me it hadn't been surveyed since 1949. And I went and spent it so I would have it all so y'all would see where the lines are exactly, because I didn't even know where the lines were. We had a picture from here and where they were supposed to be, but that's basically why I need the grant, and I'd appreciate it if you could understand why I need it.
Stay there while we ask anybody have any questions of Mr. Yokley.
I have one.
Yep.
I can see other ways from here, and I could be wrong, that building could be built without violating the 25-foot setback.
Okay.
The way your building is built, it's 20 foot deeper on the top side, whichever direction that is.
This here is 26 feet here. This is 20.
Right. So if you took some out of the end where it's, you know, obstructing the or too close to the side road, you can make a building about the same size or close enough that it should be able to work without changing your parking or your other north side boundary.
Well, the only problem is this building right now, with the way everything was set up, this building is 60 feet deep. My trucks are 176. Right now, the way it is for me to work on my truck, I have to back the trailer in, unhook the trailer, work on the trailer. If I have to work on the truck, I take the trailer out, park it, and put the truck in. With the structure I want, I can back the truck in, trailer in, and a lot of times I do need both of them in there at the same time in order to work them, because they work hydraulically.
Just so, an observation. With 1.6 acres, there ought to be a way to accomplish.
Well, there is power lines running across here, which I cannot build under. I've done checked into that. They will not let me build under the power lines.
True.
So that's kind of crimping me where I got to build. And the cost factor, I can reuse my concrete that this building is set on. That's what they're telling me. So it's going to save me a lot of money, which is nothing to you all. I understand that.
David?
You're keeping the gas island?
The island, this here is canopy right here. It's still there. It's not in op. It don't work no more. The lines are there. Everything's there.
Where's the tanks?
The tanks are gone. We got rid of them.
Okay, all right. That's
yeah, they're gone. Okay. This is going to be gone. This concrete that used to be the dike for the tanks,
right.
That's going to be gone. And basically all it's going to be here is the building and all right there. And this deal in the canopy.
Tom? Any questions?
No.
How many residents are... owners use the Mayflower Street?
There's three, besides my mother. There's one at the very end, down here, Mr. Wyatt, which lives right here, and then the Holbeaks and all live in Gail and Sarah's house, that's old house.
Okay.
And that's all there is.
So it's more of a driveway than a...
Pretty much. It's maintained... Can we bring that other picture back up? The county maintains to approximately right here. They don't maintain none of this. And actually, Mr. Wyatt has tried to put with all the residents here together a little bit, because there is some holes here over the years, been about a few years.
I've been for about 40 that I can remember.
I've put gravel in it several times, but gravel don't stay. So... And, if the county does do anything with it, they're just going to put, coal patch in it or whatever, and it ain't going to stay either. So,
but like I say, to answer your question, there's three families that live, that uses that road every day.
Okay.
Because most of the time I come in, my mother comes in this driveway here, she parks right here. So she don't even use my car.
Any further discussion? Thank you, Mr. Yokley.
Thank you.
Do you want me to draw any
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
We'll deliberate and hopefully come up with a motion for we can act upon.
I can, go ahead.
So the county just got 75 to 100 feet on the highway. The tax of the county, or do you know it well?
Oh, I'm sorry, Tom, can't hear.
I'm sorry. I was asking just exactly what the county did own or maintain, or if we had a distance of how far the county actually went back there.
I'll be honest, I don't know the exact distance. I'd say he's probably right, though. I would assume that it's
so
probably just maintained.
The Mayflower is actually just private owned.
Yeah.
If I could say something, they told us when we bought this place in 92, which was Taney Houseman owned then, he always parked cars here, and they said that there was supposed to be one width car that we could use to park, which we hardly ever did because there was traffic going up and down. If you park a car there, two people can't. You can, but you got to go slow, which it's not a fast highway road anyway.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
There's a good chance that that road is platted and dedicated to the public, whether they've accepted it or not to maintain it.
That could be, yes. That could be.
It dead ends.
I doubt it because
it's
platted. There's the answer. It's a platted
right road. Right around the corner.
Yeah, it does dead end.
On both directions.
Yeah.
And there's no...
It's 20 foot going the other direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark. Entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the variance request as typed, so we can build it on the existing property line he's using, the existing building line.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion been made and seconded to approve the variance request of 20.7 feet on the south property line. Call for the vote on it.
Approved.
David, how would you vote?
Approved.
Tom?
Approved.
Mark?
Deny.
And chairman would vote to approve. So you do have your variance request.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. What do I need to do after this now?
Talk to Benita.
See you tomorrow? Or?
Oh, yeah. That's not an issue.
Okay. I don't need to stay in one night.
No.
Thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Next case is the Branson Canyon Condominiums.
This is case number 2013-3A. The project is the Branson Canyon Condominiums Nightly Rental Amendment. The applicant is Phil Lopez. And the property in question is highlighted here. This is, it's located in the 800 block of State Highway P, Hollister, Missouri, in the Oliver Township, Section 36, Township 22, Range 22. The applicant, Phil Lopez, is requesting to appeal the Planning Commission's denial of Division 3 Permit 2013-5, authorizing the modification of the original Division 3 Permit Decision of Record 2003-49, allowing for up to 281 permitted condo units within the Branson Canyon condominiums to be utilized for nightly rental. The background on this is on November 17th, 2003, the Taney County Planning Commission approved Division 3 Permit 2003-49, authorizing a mixed-use development for both residential and commercial uses, consisting of 281 single-family cottages and nightly rental cabins, a clubhouse and sales office, boat, RV, and mini storage, and park and open space. Condition number 5 of that decision of record currently limits the development to the following. The maximum number of nightly rental cabins shall not exceed 84 units, or 30% of the development. The applicant sought the Planning Commission approval of a Division 3 permit, which would modify the original decision of record, allowing the total number of nightly rental cabins within the development to be increased from 84 units, or 34%, to a total of up to 281 units, or 100%. On May 20th, 2013, the Taney County Planning Commission denied Division 3 Permit 2013-5, seeking to modify the original Division 3 Permit decision of record, basically allowing for this increase from 84 nightly rental units up to as many as 281 nightly rental units. The Planning Commission voted to deny this request by a unanimous vote of 8-0. The Planning Commission based its decision upon the belief that the applicant had not demonstrated the present need for additional nightly rental units, based upon the fact that the developer has yet to construct all 84 of the nightly rental structures as previously authorized via the Division 3 decision of record. The Planning Commission advised the applicant to seek the future approval of a Division 3 permit upon demonstrating a need for additional nightly rental units. The general description on this, approximately 87-acre subject property currently contains a total of 37 existing platted condominium units, a clubhouse, and a sales building. The applicant has indicated that the majority of the existing condominium units are currently being utilized for nightly rental. And this is just a quick shot of the property, and we've, of course, got a video as well. In review, the applicant, Phil Lopez, is seeking to appeal the decision of the Planning Commission to deny Division 3 Permit 2013-5. This Division 3 Permit application, again, sought approval of an amendment of the number of nightly rental units allowed within the Branson Canyon Condominiums development. The Taney County Development Guidance Code defines nightly rental as a residential building, structure, or part thereof that may be rented for any period of time less than 30 calendar days, counting portions of days as full days. The term nightly rental, of course, shall not include hotel, motel, or bed and breakfast establishments. Per the provisions of Appendix E, Section 4.7, nightly rental, the nightly rental of all residential structures shall require the issuance of a special use permit. Please note, however, that this requirement refers to residential structures. Structures constructed within a development held in a condominium style of ownership have historically been viewed by the Planning Commission and the Planning Department as being commercial structures, requiring the issuance of a Division 2 commercial construction permit. In fact, all of the existing condominium structures within the Branson Canyon condominium development have been issued Division 2 permits. The applicant sought a new Division 3 permit in order to modify condition number 5 within the original Division 3 permit decision of record, relating specifically to the number of nightly rental units that will be allowed within the development. Therefore, the staff recommended to the Planning Commission that the issuance of a special use permit not be required for each new nightly rental dwelling unit, so long as a valid Division 2 permit and certificate of compliance are issued for each of these units. Establishing compliance with both the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and the conditions of the decision of record. However, the staff further recommended that the owners of all the nightly rental dwelling units within the development comply with all of the current provisions, all of the current nightly rental provisions of the code book. The Branson Canyon condominium development is served with both water and sewer service via the Emerald Point Utility Company. The sewage is ultimately treated via the Hollister Municipal Wastewater Treatment Plant. The development is served by private roads which access State Highway P. The original decision of record requires covenants and restrictions which provide for the continued maintenance of streets, stormwater drainage, common areas and open space. All existing streets within the development have been platted as common space and are owned and maintained by the Branson Canyon Owners Association. The project received a total score of 10 on the policy checklist out of a maximum score of 33. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, and use compatibility. The Planning Commission based its decision to deny Division 3 permit 2013-5 upon the belief that the applicant had not yet demonstrated the present need for additional nightly rental units, based upon the fact that the developer has yet to construct all 84 of the nightly rental structures as previously authorized via Division 3 permit 2003-49. The Planning Commission advised the applicant to seek the future approval of a Division 3 permit upon demonstrating a need for additional nightly rental units. The applicant has indicated that Branson Canyon was always planned to be a maintenance-free community of homes to be used primarily for nightly rental. The applicant has further stated that Phase 2 of the development will include up to 60 additional home sites, increasing the total number of developed sites to over 120. The current nightly rental unit or rental limit is for 84 homes. The applicant expects the pace of construction to increase dramatically over the next few years. Discussions are underway with investor groups who would build up to 20 new homes at one time. Related to this, the developers intend to engage a management company for the community at such time that professional management is required. Finally, the applicant has stated that nightly rental ownership has a strong positive impact on the community. In summary, if the Tampa County Board of Adjustment approves this appeal request, the Planning Commission denial of the decision of record for Division 3 Permit 2013-5 shall be reversed. The following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Board. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, a special use permit shall not be required for each new nightly rental dwelling unit so long as a valid Division 2 permit and certificate of compliance are issued for each of these units, establishing compliance with both the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and the conditions of the decision of record. However, the owners of all nightly rental dwelling units shall comply with all other provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code, including all of the nightly rental provisions. Third, compliance letters from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District, the Taney County Assessor's Office, the Taney County Collector's Office, and the Missouri Department of Revenue, including all other entities which have requirements governing development of this nature, shall be provided to the Planning Department office. Fourth, the maximum occupancy for each nightly rental unit shall be 2 persons per dwelling unit plus 2 persons per bedroom. The maximum occupancy may be further limited by the Western Taney County Fire Protection District. Five, 1 off-street parking space shall be provided for each 2 persons of occupancy in each nightly rental unit. All nightly rentals shall provide clearly marked and appropriately situated parking spaces for the handicapped. 1 such space in each parking area. 6, the management company or a waste collection provider shall provide weekly solid waste collection during all months that each of the nightly rental units is available for rent. 7, outdoor lighting shall be downward lit, subdued, and have minimal off-site impacts to adjoining properties. 8, all nightly rental units shall contain a minimum of 1 operable fire extinguisher, operable smoke alarms, and operable carbon monoxide alarms in compliance with the Western Taney County Fire Protection District regulations. 9, a copy of a valid Western Taney County Fire Protection District construction permit and C of O shall be submitted to the Planning Department office for all new nightly rental units prior to the issuance of each Division 2 permit certificate of conformance. 10, an on-site manager shall be designated and located within the existing Branson Canyon Condominium Clubhouse / sales building. 11, a nameplate shall be posted within 5 feet of the main entrance of each nightly rental dwelling unit, both on the inside and outside of the dwelling unit, containing the following information that's enumerated here. 12, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. 13, this decision is subject to all existing easements. And 14, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. We've shot a couple of videos of the site. The first video is a fairly quick 360 at the entrance to the development. And this is State Highway P. May not be quite as quick as I remembered. And I think we actually did drive through parts of this just to give you an idea of how everything sits. And it's my understanding that the majority of the existing units are utilized for nightly rental.
Okay. Is that it?
Sorry.
That's all right. I didn't know where we were going. All right. With those that would like to talk tonight on the subject, please stand and I'll raise your right hand. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I will.
Thank you. Phil Lopez.
Yes, sir.
Gentlemen, thanks for hearing and having me tonight. We're just a bit perplexed as to, given the reasoning that we received, the Branson Canyon has always been a nightly rental community, and the plan was is to build it out as such. We have weathered the storm through the downturn in the economy. We've been averaging about 4 to 5 homes a year, but we're starting to get a pickup in that, and I'm starting to see investors and other folks wanting to come in and take advantage of the nightly rental community that we've built. It's really a planning process on our part to get ahead of the game and to ensure to our buyers and to our homeowners that this nightly rental community, you know, will be here and will stay here. One of the opportunities we both have as a developer in the community and as a planning board is to avoid some of the issues that I think you've all been faced with those wanting to do nightly rental in traditionally residential subdivisions and neighborhoods. Here we have the opportunity to make it 100% nightly rental and thus manage it as such. We've already started on some of the, even though we don't have to, on the 84 nightly rental certificates, but we've been pulling fire permits or the permits from the fire commissioners to put the sprinkler systems in the house already. So we're already moving down that path to ensure that we'll be compliant with all statutes and everything that we have to be.
Okay. Any questions of Mr. Lopez?
Mr. Lopez, were you the original developer?
Not the original. No, there was a developer before us, and then he went out of business and we took over.
My real question would have been to the original developer, why didn't he ask for 100% at the time that he did his application? Do you know the answer?
No, I don't.
Of the existing homes that are used for nightly rental, how many are full-time residents or are used only for residences?
Well, we have one. We have one couple. I'm sorry. We have one couple that that actually is there from the March time frame through November, and then they head down to Atlanta, and then they're back. But two of the other homes are vacation homes for families, and the rest of them are nightly rentals. Five of our owners own two nightly rental homes already.
And how many current homes did I say, 37?
We've got 41 with the two models built, and 37 are nightly rentals.
Okay.
So there's 84 total in the first phase?
There was 64 in the first phase. 84 permits have been allowed. But as I go move into phase two and I start planning for that, and in our marketing strategy and chatting with investment groups, they're looking for building groups of people that want to buy 5 to 10 homes at a time.
I guess my question is, why can't you come back and resubmit for Vision 2 on this next phase? What's to keep that from happening?
Well, there's really that condition that limits him to up to 84 units. Once he hits the 84...
So that over...
He hits 84, he has to stop. Right?
Right.
When you started, you didn't start the development. The first home sold out of this Branson Canyon there, they were sold as nightly rental units?
Yes.
And are you planning to continue the whole development, or are you taking steps to sell the development to another buyer?
Right now, we're not selling the developments to another buyer. We're planning phase two to keep building homes.
Okay, I'm going to have to keep myself clear here. I took the wrong turn somewhere. Okay, this was originally for 84, and now we're coming back and wanting to do 120. Is that one?
Yeah, total there was, it allowed 281 condos, but of the 281, it only allowed for 84 or 30% to be nightly rental.
Okay.
And what we're seeing from our sales and marketing is that those folks that are coming to invest in Taney County are investors who like the nightly rental capability and like a community that is all nightly rental, so that they're not impeding on any single family homes or people that are there. Now, what I have done is I've segregated about 9 building sites thus far. I call them Branson Reserve. And those are for folks that want to be away from the nightly rental folks that don't want a nightly rental certificate. And I've got them kind of off in a quiet space.
And on these condo units, they're really individual houses, are they not?
Yeah, they're single-family homes. I guess FHA and VA would call them site condominiums, as you identify them. But they're essentially a single-family home.
I was wondering if the original intent of condos for the 281 units may have included buildings that consisted of up to 6 or 8 units at a time. Because that seems like an awful lot of units for the number of acreage that you have.
That's right. I wouldn't add enough acreage for 281.
Well, it sits on 87 acres. I mean, so there's plenty of room. And them, that being condominium, these aren't plots. These are building sites. So I honor all the setback rules and everything else, but I can maneuver those homes into those building sites.
Mark? This, I'm wondering, in the material that was just presented us, there was a requirement for a little sign that said who the property manager is and some other details.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you're doing now?
Well, because of under the current 84, no, I didn't think that, we don't have that going on right now. Going forward, if that's one of the statutes that needs to be, then I will have that. These are individual homeowners like yourselves that put them in VRBO and do their thing. I have not told them and did not know that they needed to put a sign inside the house with all that information. That would be easy to do and comply with.
Which is leading to my next question on the on-site, you know, property manager. With as many units as you have, it seems to make sense. But you're not running the property management side?
No, that's the beauty of this whole thing. Each individual family who buys the home manages their own home. They manage their own nightly rental. They put it in VRBO. They do all their own stuff. So there's nothing that the HOA does but cut the lawn and make sure the streets are clean. So if one of you guys and your family wanted to buy one, you could then put it in nightly rental if you wanted to, and then come and vacation there as you saw fit with your family. And that's the building model. I do not compete and provide a management company. This would be a conflict of interest on whose house got rented first.
And all the homeowners are aware on the purchase of the house that their neighbors may be renting out nightly. I mean, is this up front in the sales presentation?
Oh, yeah.
And all the literature?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, they come to us for the nightly rental capability. Branson Canyon has been noted from, you know, Texas to Illinois to, you know, all of Missouri and Kansas, that we're a premier nightly rental community. So, yes, they know that it is, and they come here asking for that capability.
This doesn't have a whole lot of bearing, but how do they handle the laundry and the cleanup afterwards, if they're living in Illinois or Texas?
Well, they have maid services that are here, and actually my realtor, Jeremy Worley, his wife started a cleaning service, and now she's got three little ones, so she had to sell it off. But they've got cleaning services that come in that are local here and turn the property and do the laundry, do the sheets and change everything and get them turned around.
And that's all the responsibility of the homeowner?
Yeah.
Is the homeowner held to certain standards of, I mean, if somebody comes in and trashes the place or...
Then it's the homeowner's, it's their homeowner's insurance that's responsible for that. They have a lease or a contract that they do with every tenant.
They understand that, I mean, it is their responsibility to maintain it and upkeep it as nice as the rest of the homes around them. I mean,
yes,
they're not going to rent it out and say, oh, we don't have any renters for 6 weeks coming in. We just won't hire the maid service till we cut a couple more bucks, you know, and so.
Well, what happens inside their home, just like yours and mine, is their business. So it's not, I mean, if the sheets didn't get changed or the plasma screen got trashed, I mean, that's between them and their client, their customer. On the outside of the house, the HOA takes care of all the grounds, and as you can tell from the video, we spent a lot of money doing that.
I'm not able to make that point.
Okay. All individually.
Right, I understand that. Each homeowner is responsible for their
home. And the HOA is not responsible for nothing inside the house.
Right, but period. The outside is perfectly maintained all the time by HOA.
Right.
I'm just, you know...
Any other questions while we discuss this? Thank you. Vicki Harris. Is it Harris? I'm sorry.
Hales,
I'm sorry.
Thank you for hearing our concerns. I'm from Big Bear Park, which is right next to the area. And we are greatly concerned about the congestion in the area and how it will be handled, such as roads. Right now, the roads break down with just the people who are existing in the area. Also, at this point, the Corps has said we would have mild lake usage. And at this point, our parking lot is full down there every day. The summertime is going on, at least especially the weekends. So it seems imperative to me that they would want to make sure, being a commercial business and everything, that these people could go ahead and rent their places to other people and have adequate lake access and a place to park their trailer and not have to bring it back up to the storage. I believe when I was looking at what was printed up there earlier, it said parking for every two people. Well, I know that's not true now if you would look at the parking places. Two people, all right, four people. Most of those houses that I have been in that have been built recently have at least five bedrooms in them. So that changes the amount of people that they can have there. The other concern is their trash. Needless to say, it's noisier because it's nightly rental and they're down for partying. But you see their trash. They have one bin and it's overflowing every weekend. It's all over the ground and around, and it gets broken into by the animals. Security is a big thing that we're concerned about, as well as how they will deal with a problem come nighttime. I understand at 7 o'clock at night they have no real security. And if people have problems or need help, which a lot of the older people do at times, they need to have access to get 911 in there. And yes, I know 911 is pretty well designated as to where things are. But like just next door in Bear Park, we have to show them which way to go or they get in there and they get confused. And I don't know, but to me, one access into the canyon is not enough. It seems to me if you're going to put all those people in there, and I know they're talking about putting another road up there coming in from the other end, but this is a lot of work on P Highway. P Highway already has buku people back in there coming and going all the time. The town people come and use our lake access. Other people do at multiple times. And it's an open access. They should have the ability to do that. But I'm just concerned about the big congestion there. I know I've been told that boats do not park there overnight or personal watercraft. Well, that's wrong because I've seen them there first thing in the morning. And people have pulled up into what I would consider the drive for everyone else to use or across from the trash dumpster and left their boats there. I think they need to have a place, not a paid place, for access to the lake because people come down here for that very reason. Thank you for hearing me.
All right, thank you. Any questions for Ms. Harris? Hales, I mean? David McCorkendale.
You didn't miss that one. Did you miss her? So?
Yes, I did.
I'm also from Big Bear Resort or Park or whatever. And, you know, we are a have an HOA, and we take care of the property, and we take care of the people. We provide security. We provide a manager. And we do. We also have rentals, but we don't normally, or we don't allow, in our covenants, we don't allow rentals. They got to be at least 30 days or more. Because we found in the past that when you have nightly rentals, you get a lot of issues with people partying and throwing, you know, stuff, driving around, you know, running into stuff and people and damage, property damage and that kind of stuff. And, you know, one of the things that he said that kind of, you know, made me think a little bit. The original intent for Branson Canyon was to be homes. It wasn't for nightly rentals. Because I looked at those places before I decided to move down to the park. And I have since built a home down there. But they were originally set up as homes. It was a place to come where you could relax. And if you didn't, you know, if you wanted to go back to another area, you could. But they were originally set up as homes. And some of the first homes that were built were like, you know, there was a couple of two bedrooms, and there was several four bedrooms, but now they're going to six and seven bedrooms for this nightly rental thing. That's something that has come about since maybe possibly that he's taken over. And if that's the way they're selling it, I would think that would be, you know, there'd be certain laws as far as how you rent, who you, you know, how long you rent and that kind of stuff, because there's going to be problems up there. There's no security, no way to get, you know, 911 in there. There's going to be lots of issues because we've seen it before when you have nightly rentals. And six bedrooms, there's not enough room to park the cars that are going to bring six people in most cases.
That's all I got.
Thanks. All right. Thank you.
May I respond?
Yes, you may.
Well, firstly, I think if you check any of the police records or blotters or whatever, they're I don't think there's been any issues or police call at Branson Canyon. Secondly, E911, there's an E911 address for every single address in Branson Canyon in Phase 1. That's all been documented. Trash is picked up three times a week. Yes, I understand that some people have a hard time putting trash into a dumpster, but we come by and we get that trash into that dumpster as fast as we can. The location, the proximity to the dock down by Big Bear, that's a public launch. So, I mean, anybody and everybody can come down there and use it. And then we built Lakeside Storage right across the street for the very purpose of folks parking their RVs, parking their boats. Now, some are more honorable than others, and yes, I do have to shag people out of parking their boats at Branson Canyon and get them over Lakeside Storage, but that's something we've been able to manage. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Mark.
I've got a question since you're responding to it. What about the parking situation on the larger bedroom units?
Well, we have overflow parking. As you maybe saw on the video, I've got spaces available where folks, it's not right next door to the house, but I've got overflow parking where they can go up and park up by the clubhouse, and they can park in certain sections around the subdivision.
It what looks I tried, like you're going to really need that,
yeah, absolutely.
Should this be approved.
Right, and so that's not been a problem, and what we try to do is give them 2 to 4 parking pads out in front of the house, depending on, you know, from an aesthetic perspective, what how much of the front lawn you want to eat up.
Okay. Question?
Yes. And you're willing to comply with all 14 of the stipulations should this go through. Number 10, you know, you need an on-site manager, and you're going to get, are you guys going to hire a management company to have a manager on-site at all times?
Well, I mean, or does he have to be on-site 24 hours a day, or can he be within call? Is it somebody that I can...
An on-site manager shall be designated and located within the existing Branson Canyon Condominium Clubhouse Sales Building.
7x24?
It's not stated there.
Okay. Well, whatever we need to comply with, we'll have to comply with.
Okay. Mindful of children are also counted as persons, and mm-hmm. a lot of families have more than 3 or 4 kids, too.
Yeah.
And they may come down in one car.
Yep.
All right. Thank you very much.
Sure.
I will close this from public hearing and adjourn to our discussion. I'm not too sure if the decision the Planning Commission made is not that off base with the projections that they have made for this development, only 37 or 41 structures so far, and making money is not part of the code requirements at all.
To me, it'd be different if we had all 80 of them built or whatever, and we still got 40-some that hasn't been built yet before you need. I mean, I understand his situation, trying to get investors and stuff mm-hmm. projecting out, but still, yeah, it looks like this is something that's a few days down the road before you need the whole
okay.
situation.
Any comments, Mark?
Yes, it does seem to me that it may be a few days down the road, but it's inevitable in today's market with the percentage that has already gone nightly rental. I'm guessing that those that are looking for a neighborhood of, you know, whether it be second home ownership without nightly rental or just a place to live and raise their family, are going to be going somewhere else. So I feel he will need this, whether we give it to him today or whether he comes back at a later time. It seems to me that it can be done properly. Maybe even a project like this is needed in the community because of the problems that we've seen with when somebody tries to take a home and put it into nightly rental where it wasn't planned for that, and there wasn't trash pickup, and there wasn't a few of the other things that we've heard in this room before. This plan, I think, deserves a chance to work. And so whether it happens now or whether it happens later, I don't see much other path for the property other than the one Mr. Lopez is attempting to go down.
Well, I don't deny that it seems like they've got it geared toward the nightly rental being the whole nightly rental community, which I agree that's better than what everybody's dealing with now in the county. I mean, it's being spotty here and there. But, whether we deal with it now or later. So.
But the rate of sales that we've seen in the past, even though we have hopefully come back from that downturn, 40 some on more homes is quite a lot to. That could be a 3 to 5 year build out.
I understand.
I mean, for sales.
With wanting to be.
No, you have ducks in a row. And,
getting out in front of it with investors and stuff. I do understand
That's part of developing. Is having everything in place and ready to go and move forward. I don't see it. As Mark was saying, whether it happens tonight or down the road, it's going to have to happen. It does appear that they're trying to do it in a very proper way, and trying to keep it in line with the guidance codes and trying to do better than a lot of what we've been dealing with, as Mark said.
Bob, do you think, I'm trying to think of a way, man, this could be, we're working off of the 2003 permit.
And that's what was tough.
I was trying to figure out how to get, of course, this is before it's either all in, not in rent or all.
Can you speak up a little bit?
I'm sorry. We're working off 2003 code or permit, and if there was some way around where they're reapplying this to be designated as a nightly rental development only, is there some? Or is it because they've got these percentages set in there that the planning P&Z is trying to follow that off of that?
At this point, it was really felt that we had to follow the percent that was, because they set that out specifically as a condition that there wouldn't be over the 84 units. And that's one of the things, really by the we've amended these nightly rental regulations a number of times. The staff's feel on this was that since these units are held in condominium-style ownership, that a special use permit would not be required for each property as it's sold. Just even from a practical sense, having even 84 units that are constantly coming in seeking.
Well, my deal with it is, what P&Z is saying is, and what Mr. Lopez is saying is, he's more or less all in for it's all going to be nightly rentals, except maybe a few units. It's the bottom line is, and today the way everything is going is, with it being all nightly rental, everybody that comes in there is buying this for a secondary rental market home or whatever. They're probably not going to buy there, or at least if they do buy there, they know what they're getting into.
Exactly.
You know, so the way we're setting the PNC and what we've got now is saying, okay, we only have 84 of them, then we're going to make you do the rest of them in single family and put, and make you sell them in there with nightly rental.
Right, yeah.
So we're setting a, you know.
Well, we're causing future problems.
Whether we, you know, say, okay, Mr. Lopez says, you know, we're all in, this is going to be a secondary home market nightly rental development, and more or less, we don't want, you know, it's not for single family homes or that type of thing. It's kind of.
Mr. Chairman,
Mark,
while we're talking about this, something just came to me that, you know, might be a good thing. There's a little flexibility to go either way. Could be wrong, but I'm guessing you've got some people that buy intending to use it as nightly rental for the next 15, 20 years till they retire.
Yeah.
And then it becomes their home.
Yeah, that's true, too.
And this plan allows that to happen. And may not even plan it, but it may be the way it works out by the time retirement comes around.
I've seen a lot of them sold that way for nightly rental for 10 to 12 years, 15, and they plan on moving in.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm done.
All right. Entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion to approve case number 2013-003A, including the 14 conditions as listed.
I will second that motion.
And that motion is that we're going to increase the percentages from 30% to 100%?
Yes.
All right, as long as,
as long as he complies with the 14 condition.
Right. Yes. Any further discussion? I'll call for a vote then. Mark, you made the motion. How would you vote?
I'd vote yes.
On the appeal?
On the to approve the appeal.
All right. David?
Affirmative, approve the appeal.
Okay. Tom?
Affirmative. Approve the appeal.
All right. And Chairman, would we say vote no, but you need three, so you do have your appeal carried.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. And you can talk to Bonita about how to go about and get all the documents.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Our next case we have before us, there's nobody that signed up for it, but I presume that somebody's here. No, that's all right. Are you presenting this for the...
For the developers?
Uh-huh. Okay. I need to make this known. We have a provision that if there's... that we have to have three favorable votes in order to approve a request, and I have to recuse myself from this matter because of conflict of interest. So I'm going to turn the floor over to the vice chairman to carry out the rest of the proceedings on this permit. You do have the option to wait 30 days and hope that we had we normally have five people. We had one absent. So now we're down to three, and you have to get all favorable votes of all three in order to carry the decision. That's your decision if you want to go ahead with it tonight with that understanding, or you could roll the dice, because this is a volunteer board and we can't guarantee that everybody's going to be here because of schedule things of that nature.
No, let's proceed.
All right. And with that in mind, then I'll recuse myself, and David Nelson will take over. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Clemson. And what's your name, sir?
Scott Beanland.
Scott Beanland. Mr. Ashley, do we have staff report?
Okay. This is case number 2013-4A. The project is the Veterans Victory Village. Appeal of condition number 7 of the Division 3 permit. The applicants are Nick and Joe Bima, and the representative is Scott Beanland. This is the property in question. It's located at 2657 Sunset Ed Road, Branson, Missouri. Scott Township, sections 15 and 22, Township 23, Range 21. The applicants, Nick and Joe Bima, are seeking an appeal in order to further clarify condition number 7 of the decision of record for Division 3 permit 2013-11 as placed by the Planning Commission on the development of the Veterans Victory Village. Condition number 7 currently states, prior to the issuance of on-site land disturbance permits and Division 2 permits, the developer shall make the necessary upgrades to Sunset Inn Road in compliance with the Taney County Road and Bridge Standards. The background on this, on June 17, 2013, the Taney County Planning Commission approved Division 3 permit 2013-11, authorizing the development of the Veterans Victory Village, an approximately 245-unit residential housing complex to be held in condominium-style ownership, providing housing for disabled veterans and their families via a total of 7 monolithic dome structures. In conjunction with this approval, a number of multi-purpose domes will also be constructed, providing year-round activities and services primarily for disabled veterans and their families. Here's a couple of illustrations of what the domes would look like. And this is actually the courtyard area of some of these possible dome structures, showing these individual condominium-style units. The background on this, throughout the Division 3 permitting process, Mr. and Mrs. Bima publicly indicated that they are committed to the completion of the necessary upgrades to Sunset Inn Road. At that time, the County Commission didn't wish to garner an opinion regarding the project. However, the County Commission indicated at that time that they would meet with the developers regarding upgrades to Sunset Inn Road and also the possible acquisition of additional rights-of-way along this corridor upon the culmination of the Planning Commission Division 3 permitting process. On July 11, 2013, the County Commission held a public hearing attended by Scott Beanland, Randy Hayes, and myself concerning discussion of the necessary private upgrades that would be required for Sunset Inn Road at the cost of the developers of the Veterans Victory Village. During the hearing, the County Commission expressed concern that the current verbiage of Condition Number 7 may actually still require the acquisition of additional rights-of-way by the developer because the condition specifically requires the upgrades of Sunset Inn Road to be made in compliance with the Taney County Road and Bridge Standards. The Taney County Road and Bridge Standards require a minimum 50-foot wide right-of-way width. During the public hearing, the County Commission requested that I seek the clarification of the Planning Commission as to the requirements of Condition Number 7 of the Decision of Record. The County Commissioners indicated that the phrase, in compliance with Taney County Road and Bridge Standards, would indicate that a minimum 50-foot right-of-way width would be required in order to gain compliance with Road and Bridge Standards. The Commission did, however, further advise that I consult with the Taney County Attorney regarding the matter. On July 12th, the next day, upon consulting with the County Attorney, the Counselor verbally indicated that Condition Number 7 may still be construed in such a manner to indicate that the upgrade of Sunset Inn Road in compliance with Taney County Road and Bridge Standards may actually be inferred to also require the acquisition of additional rights-of-way along Sunset Inn Road because the condition currently states that the Sunset Inn Road upgrades shall be made in compliance with the Taney County Road and Bridge Standards, which require a minimum 50-foot wide right-of-way. It was the County Attorney's opinion that the only way in which the verbiage of Condition Number 7 may be legally amended is via an appeal process before the Board of Adjustment. The attorney has also verbally indicated that the decision of record may only be amended, of course, via an advertised public hearing process. Therefore, the only venue that would allow for this clarification for that condition, it is tonight's Board of Adjustment process. The general description, again, at the Planning Commission regular meeting, the planning staff, of course, reads aloud the recommended Division 3 permit conditions, and the verbiage that was read initially was that prior to the issuance of on-site land disturbance permits and Division 2 permits, the developer shall make the necessary upgrades to Sunset Inn Road, including the acquisition of additional rights-of-way along this corridor, in compliance with the Taney County Road and Bridge Standards. Planning Commissioner Rick Caudill basically made a motion to delete the following verbiage from Condition 7. He asked to delete the verbiage that said including the acquisition of additional rights-of-way along this corridor. The motion was then seconded by Dave Stewart, followed by a lengthy discussion among the Planning Commission membership. The vote to exclude that aforementioned verbiage was approved by a vote of 4 in favor and 3 opposed, with the chairman abstaining. The Division 3 permit was approved with basically that verbiage being removed from Condition 7. The applicants, Nick and Joe Bima, are basically seeking clarification regarding Condition 7 placed by the Planning Commission on that decision of record. The Planning Commission final vote involved a great deal of debate among the membership, specifically regarding both the language and requirements that were to be imposed via this specific condition. However, the majority, basically 4 in favor and 3 against, specifically voted to delete verbiage that would have required the developers to acquire additional rights-of-way on Sunset Inn Road. The majority of the Planning Commission, the 4 members, expressed concern about the authority of the Planning Commission to require the acquisition of additional rights-of-way by a private developer located at the end of the county-maintained roadway, or Sunset Inn Road. During the public hearing process, the Road and Bridge Administrator indicated that the county records indicate that the majority of Sunset Inn Road has an existing 40-foot right-of-way width. The mapping division of the assessor's office has actually mapped a legal description for the Boston and Hensley Ferry Road, and this is one thing that I actually didn't get in the original staff report, but the Boston and Hensley Ferry Road was a surveyed public road in 1878. And it basically appears that the legal description for this roadway matches Sunset Inn Road, essentially. And it was originally surveyed with a 30-foot wide right-of-way, and it now appears that Sunset Inn Road has a 40-foot right-of-way, but essentially this has been a public road, it appears, since 1878, with it being maintained by the county for quite some time. Exactly. The applicants have indicated that the Taney County Road Standards do not show any details and really do not mention any requirements that would apply to the improvement of existing roads. The applicants are proposing the installation of curb and gutter streets with an asphalt surface at their cost with no financial impact on the county. The applicants have indicated that they are willing to provide the county with a performance bond for the costs associated with improvements to Sunset Inn Road. Excuse me. In summary, if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this request seeking to modify condition number 7 placed by the Planning Commission on the decision of record for Division 3 Permit 2013-11 for the Veterans Victory Village, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Board. First off, condition number 7 of the decision of record for Division 3 Permit 2013-11 shall be modified to state the following. Prior to the issuance of on-site land disturbance permits and Division 2 permits, the developer shall make the necessary upgrades to Sunset Inn Road in compliance with Taney County Road and Bridge Standards as allowed within the existing road right-of-way. The developer may provide a performance bond in compliance with the security provisions of the Development Guidance Code and the subdivision regulations from a qualified insurance or bonding company for the estimated cost of all improvements to Sunset Inn Road plus 10% in lieu of making the required improvements at the onset. Second, compliance with all requirements of conditions 1 through 6 and 8 through 15 of the original Division 3 permit decision of record and all provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. And third, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. This one's a little unusual. We actually did a couple of videos. The board may not wish to see the whole video. We took one video just very briefly at the gates, the entrance to the property. But we also took, since this appeal involves primarily the road right away, we shot a second video basically driving down Sunset Inn Road. Yeah, and so I don't know that the board is going to wish to. I mean, I can play parts of it if you want, or
no,
okay.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Do you guys want to see it?
No.
Okay. And that's all I've got.
Okay. Scott, you're going to speak before us?
Sure.
I'm going to raise your right hand because I don't think we've already swore. Promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and not the truth, something
got. I do.
All right.
There's not much that I can add to Bob's report. A few points maybe just to reiterate. There is, according to mapping, an existing 40-foot right-of-way, the length of Sunset Inn Road. We feel like there are plenty opportunities within an existing 40-foot right-of-way to greatly improve the roadway, curbs, gutters, storm lines, inlets, sidewalks, just to name a few. And again, as Bob had indicated, all at the developer's cost, no county dollars associated, bonding, any of the work. All of those design improvements, or all of those improvements, of course, would be professionally engineered. What else might I add? A question that actually came to my mind during the previous presentation. Nobody, as a point of comparison, the issue of road improvements did not even seem to come up as an issue on the previous applicant's permit or request for permit. And I guess I would point out that P Highway is a fairly, as I'm sure you all know, fairly narrow roadbed roadway. So I'm here for questions.
I'll leave it
to you guys.
The one thing I didn't see in the presentation is what's the width of the road that you're proposing, curb to curb?
As yet to be defined. It would be professionally engineered, approved by Road and Bridge Department. County standards, if it were a curb and guttered surface, I believe, are 31 feet curb to curb. And again, there's a 40 foot.
I think that's correct. Yeah, it's sufficient.
Yeah, 40 foot right of way.
I think that's correct.
I'm still confused why we're here.
I think we all are.
Art,
no, I think I can kind of explain.
Yeah.
I get it.
It's a verbiage.
The intent was to do exactly what we need to do tonight. It just wasn't clear enough, so it needs to be answered today. The majority wanted to not put on the developer to go out and acquire the additional right-of-way. They just didn't want the county to have to spend the money to do the roads. They're willing to do it.
Mark, if I could add, you know, there would be potential implications for any future development should – you know, should that requirement
it could be
maintained?
Challenged.
Yeah, I mean, Branson Canyon, you know, as a prime example, 281 units. You know, it seems to me like it would really open a can of worms.
Okay, thanks.
Hmm?
Any questions, Juan? Tom?
Good.
All right. Since he's the only one signed up to speak. Close the public. All right. Talk amongst ourselves.
So essentially what we're doing is the verbiage thing. I've been yelling all day.
I think what we need is a motion that's cleaner than what I'm trying to wrap my head around. I believe that the Planning Commission had the right motive. They want to see it go through. They just don't want to take on any extra burdens. Am I right in that?
I saw it that way. It was discussed at length. Four people voted yes. When you took out that they have to go out and buy the additional right-of-way, I would have thought that it was done at that point.
Right.
I don't think Scott expected to be here tonight having to address this again.
I'll entertain any motions.
Make a motion to approve.
You got something to say?
I'll second the motion.
And how are you going to phrase that?
Well,
yeah.
Yes. I saw it up there. You know, the other way we could phrase it is saying, including condition number 1, 2, and 3. It's there. It may say it in too many words.
So the motion as type.
The motion as type.
Presented or?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It says that bonding be done.
It's bond. It's
everything's there, the bond, everything.
Mr. Chairman, Scott
may
have
a
clarification.
As it pertains to these three conditions, it says prior to the issuance of land disturbance and Division 2 permits, upgrades be completed. I guess.
But then.
Performance bond.
Performance bonded down there.
Mm-hmm. Well, my question is, obviously you don't want a finished roadway prior to your construction traffic.
But with.
With the inclusion.
Bond,
okay.
What's the impact where it was?
That makes it where. It's bonded, so you can complete the project, but somewhere in the mix, you'll have to fix the road.
Yeah. And this got a little wordy, but that was the intent.
And I'm glad he got that clarified.
Because we'll be back again, right?
I thought the performance bond would answer this question.
The only thing I see is,
go ahead.
Is whether the road and bridge, or somebody down the line, is as long as they're going to be okay with the 40-foot versus the 50-foot. Here's my deal with a lot of these older roads like this and stuff. They've already got 40 foot in, and now we're coming back and saying you got to have 50 foot. So then you got to go back to all these property owners down through there and go, I want another 5 feet of yours and 5 feet of yours. Well, I know a lot of those property owners down through there personally.
But we've got some platted roads that aren't even there. Yeah. They're pastures, they're fields. So.
You can build a very nice road sufficient for what they're wanting to 40 do,
foot
which is a great clause. It's 40 foot.
Yeah. Okay, so you want to put that in motion. Is it there?
Yes. Yeah. And the reason I didn't want to put 40 foot in there, what if it's 40 foot and then it drops to 38 and then goes up to 50? And there might be some of that. So, if those mappers missed some little thing, and normally 76 does this, by the way, I don't want to put feet in it. They're going to do it to the standards. They're going to have Road and Bridge approve it.
Then a motion made to approve.
I second it.
It's been seconded. The motion is to approve the appeal as typed, condition 1, 2, and 3. We've got a first and a second. Let's vote. Mark.
Vote to approve.
Tom.
To approve.
And Chairman votes to approve as well. You have your appeal.
Gentlemen.
And these wonderful people will help you out. And public part is done. Any old is new business? Wait, minutes. Anybody want to approve the minutes from last month?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Everybody in favor? Aye. Any old business, new business?
Really don't have anything at this point. I don't believe that we have an application for next month.
All right. Anybody want to make any other motions on maybe leaving?
Let's do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a comment. That last project, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I am too.
That's going to be very unique, and for what a great cause.
And I like.
We'll have more traffic at the end.
I like the nightly rental, the way he's approaching that. Mm-hmm. I really did.
I'll have more out of staters that I'll be going. Oh, man, at least
so you live down
well
there?
Most of the time.